Deuteronomy 4:33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Verse 39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Father, we thank you, God, that we know the right God. We know the true God. We know the one that sent down that great salvation from heaven. God, thank you, those of us who have received that salvation that's in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for showing us yourself, leading us to yourself. Thank you for saving us. God, as was mentioned this morning, there's probably still some here not saved, be some here tonight not saved. God, would you work in their hearts? Show them their desperate need for salvation. Show them they have no promise of tomorrow. But God, we who are saved, we thank you. We can never thank you enough, as I got sung a few minutes ago. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. And Lord, as you told Israel here, you are God. The Lord, He is God. There is none else beside you, Lord. Thank you so much for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to give you a few references this morning, a few scriptures to show you that God is everything. We've kind of had a twofold theme this week. On one side of the coin, the fact that we are nothing. We are dust. We have no value at all outside of Him. And the other side of the theme was that God is everything. God is the most important. This is not about us. It's about Him. He said He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and He's everything in between. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Without God, we are nothing. Without us, God is everything. Give you a lot of scripture this morning. We're not going to take time to look at it. I'm going to read verses to you. It says in Hebrews 2 verse 10, it became Him for whom are all things. Everything's for Him and by whom are all things. Acts 17 verses 27-28, they should seek the Lord, though He be not far from every one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Doesn't matter where you go, there He is. We're in Him. We have our being in Him. 1 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. We and all things were created for His pleasure. Revelation 4 verse 11 says, everything, Romans 1:20, everything is an expression of God. Everything that's good is an expression of God. And that's why He said you ought to be able to look around at what He's got, what He's created, and realize there is a God who made all these things. He says in Isaiah 43 verse 7, it's all created for His glory. We're here only for Him. Isaiah 43 verse 21, He created everything for Himself. I'm not for me. I'm for Him. We're created for Him. Show you that He is everything. He is absolutely everything. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 12 says, greet one another with an holy kiss. That is just God in you touching Himself in somebody else. It's God. It's all God. It's not us. I hope before I get done here, you get the point of this thing. It's all about Him. It's not about us. God does not want to talk to you. He wants to talk to Himself. Nobody is worthy to be talked to by God but God Himself. And if He's talking to you, He's talking to Himself inside of you. You need to get a hold of that. Without Him, we are nothing. John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth Whomsoever I send, God said, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's God the Son saying, if you receive whoever you receive me. And if you receive me, God the Son, you receive him, God the Father. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's God in you esteeming God in somebody else. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Some of you are not getting the picture, but I hope by the time I get done here and give you about 40 references, you'll see this thing is not about us. Revelation 21, verse 9. I mean, just thank God that you got in on it. But it's not about you. Revelation 21, verse 9, there came unto him one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. What is the Lamb's wife called? Other than the bride, she's called his body, is she not? He's the head, she is the body. Nobody. This is the Lord Jesus marrying himself. Don't you understand? He's so far above us, we can't get to Him. We can't touch Him. He has to come down to us. He has to put Himself in us to have any kind of relationship with us at all. It's about Him. He said in Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's God in you esteeming Himself in somebody else. He created a help for Adam, but he couldn't find one for himself. There wasn't one for him. You realize the Godhead is complete without us. Do you understand that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He doesn't need us. Don't you understand that? We need Him. He's complete without us. Somebody said, well, God created us because He needed somebody. God didn't need anything. He has complete love within the confines of the Godhead. And thank God He just lets us get in on it. Amen. I mean, you know what the problem is? You know why you're sitting there? We're so full of ourselves, we think God needs us. He doesn't need us. We need Him. This thing is about Him. It's not about us. Nobody is worthy of God but God Himself. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that's God, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, God, the Spirit itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Do you understand what that is? That's God in you praying to God in heaven in your behalf. That's God talking to God. Anytime we pray rightly, that is the Holy Spirit praying through us. We don't know what to say. That's what He said, with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's God praying to God Himself. In our behalf, it's all about Him. It's not about us. Why would that be? There's nobody else for God to talk to but Himself. There's nobody on His level. Can you grasp that? There's nobody on His level. Amen. He has to condescend to where we are for us to even know He exists. He said in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, says, then the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, by the way, that's God the Son, manifested in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord answered and said, he's praying, O Lord of hosts, here's God praying to God, God the Son praying to God the Father. He says, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem? That's God interceding to God for Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. And the Lord, God the Father, answered the angel of the Lord, God the Son, with good words and comfortable words. This is God talking to God in our behalf and God responding to God for us. It's all about God. You try to comprehend the difference in us and God, you can't span that gulf. But just think about yourself. You walk out to an ant bed, that ant has no recognition of your existence at all. Does not know you even exist. Cannot see you. You're too big. Get the hand up on your finger. He still can't see you. He doesn't even realize where he's at. The only way you can make contact with that hand so the hand would realize it's been made contact with you would have to condescend and become one of them yourself. You can't do that. God did that for us, though. Amen. There's such a vast difference between us and God. We wouldn't even know there is a God if he didn't manifest himself to us. You say, well, all societies have some idea that there's some kind of supreme being. That's because it started back there in the garden with Adam. And God revealed himself to him. So humanity from then on knows there's something out there somewhere. But he has to reveal himself to us, you see. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he, Jesus, is Jesus God? Yes. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. God is able to save those that come to God by Jesus Christ, who is God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. John 11, verses 41 and 42 says, Jesus, that's God, lifted up his eyes and said, Father, that's God. Here's God praying to God. I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. God the Son praying to God the Father, thanking God that God always heard God. Listen, let me tell you something about Jesus. You say, well, he's the Son. This thing gets confusing. Isaiah 9, 6 says, Jesus is the Father. Unto us a child is born. That's Jesus, the Son of Man. Unto us a son is given. That's Jesus, the Son of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Counselor. What's the next one? Wonderful. The Mighty God. Now listen to this. That verse talking about Jesus. His name, Jesus' name shall be called the Everlasting what? Father. Jesus is your Father. Amen. He's the only God with whom you have to do. I know he manifests himself in three ways in different times and things he's doing and so forth. It's the same God all the time. Amen. He is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the Trinity. He's the only God with whom we have to do. I'm not belittling the Trinity. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus Christ is your God. Amen. He's the Father, Isaiah 9, 6 said. He's the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 said. And he is the Son, the Gospels tell us. Amen. He's the Godhead. Amen. Amen. In fact, he said in John 8, verse 24, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 39, and he, God the Son, prayed, saying, O my Father, God the Father. He's praying to himself. For what? For us. For us. Hebrews 9, 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, is he God? Amen. You don't even know, do you? Is he God? Amen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, well then that must be God's blood. Amen. And sure enough, Acts 20, verse 28 said, God shed his own blood for us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, God again, offered himself without spot to God. Here's God offering himself to God. That's what caused Martin Luther to cry out when he's preaching on the cross. God, separated from God. Who can understand it? Nobody. Nobody. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who is God, who through the eternal Spirit, who is God, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's God paying himself for our sins because we could not pay for our own sins. The Son took his blood, which was God's blood. It did not fall to the ground where it was whatever things do that fall to the ground. He took that blood, he gathered that blood up and went and put it on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. The blood of Christ is up there now. Harry Emerson Fosdick, a Baptist, said the blood of Christ avails no more than the blood of a chicken. He is in hell. He said it wasn't his blood, it was his death. No, no. If they had strangled him, he couldn't save you. It's the blood that saves you. And it's God's blood. Offered himself. God offered himself to God to atone for our sins, paying for our sins. The Son took His blood, which was God's blood, Acts 20, verse 28, and took it up to the Father. John 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I, Jesus, God, am not yet ascended to my Father, God, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God. God the Son, go unto His Father, God the Father, in behalf of us. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of God. Capital S. If you got any Bible but a King James, it'll say in that verse, a Son of the Gods, little g. No. He saw the Son of God, which is God Himself, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, and there was given to Him, God the Son, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, would you turn to Revelation 5 and look at the very same scene that Daniel was talking about there in Daniel chapter 7. He's talking about God the Son presenting Himself to God the Father. God coming to God. Revelation chapter 5. The very same scene that's in Daniel 7. Verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's God the Son, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, Jesus the Son, Jesus God, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And He came. This one that's in the midst of the throne, who is God the Son, came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. So here's God the Son in the midst of the throne, coming to the throne, taking this book out of the hand of God the Father, who's sitting on the throne. Does it get confusing yet? Verse 7. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's God the Son, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. God the Son has redeemed us to God the Father by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and so on and so forth. That all that is in that passage, all that is. We can't even comprehend all that is. Amen. wrong words there. But that is God presenting Himself to Himself. That's what that is. God coming to God in our behalf, and God giving God dominion over all of God's creation. Amen. That's what's going on in that passage. You figured out yet this thing is not about us. It's all about Him. Genesis 22, verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You take that verse two ways and it means it both ways. God will get a lamb for Himself, and God Himself is the lamb. He's going to get for Himself. God providing Himself to be the sacrifice in our behalf. The only sacrifice God could accept is Himself. There's nothing worthy of Him. That's all He could accept. That's why you're told in Hebrews chapter 10, all those years All those thousands of rams and lambs and bullocks availed absolutely nothing. The blood of bulls and goats count for nothing because God can accept nothing short of Himself. Nothing at all. He's the only perfect sacrifice. Exodus 12 verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. He's the Passover lamb. Christ Jesus is the Passover lamb. All those thousands, they just pointed to Him. He said in Exodus 12 verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Goes on talking about that lamb and what to do with the blood and so forth. And then centuries later, Jesus Christ did exactly what all that typology was pointing to. His blood is the only blood that really counts. Why? He's the only one that's perfect. A perfect God can only accept perfection. Say, well, I'm not perfect. That's why you better get in Jesus. It's the only way He'll accept you. Amen. Passover lamb, that's Christ. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Leviticus 22 verse 21, whosoever offereth a sacrifice unto the Lord or a freewill offering, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. That's the Son of God. No blemish at all. That's the only one that God Himself will... Only thing God will accept is God Himself. Amen. That's why He cannot accept us unless we get in Him. Right. Amen. That's the only way. God is satisfied with nothing but absolute perfection. Amen. And He can't find that in us. But He opens the door for us to get in Him. Amen. And then when we're in Him, when He sees His Son, when He sees you, He sees His Son. If you're in Him. You know when God looks at a Christian, you know what color He sees? He sees red. Amen. The blood of His Son. Amen. We're covered by the blood. Amen. Amen. So what you got there, Hebrews 9 verse 14, He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That is God paying Himself for our sins. Taking our place, doing what we cannot do. In John 20, verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I, God, Jesus, am not yet ascended to my Father, God, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God, God the Son. Going to God the Father. Present the blood of God in our behalf. What a God we have, man. We can just get a hold of what He's done for us. Just grasp what He's done. You realize Acts 20, verse 28 said it was God's blood shed at Calvary? It's the blood of God Himself. In Genesis 22, verse 8, he said, Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I realize I read that a few minutes ago. But God providing Himself for the sacrifice that He requires from us. That's why these people think they can work for their salvation. Never can do it. You cannot work. You couldn't do anything to ever impress God. God had to do it Himself. God had to die Himself. That's what caused Martin Luther to cry out, God, when he's thinking about Calvary, he said, God, separated from God, who can comprehend it? Nobody. Nobody. You realize God went to hell for you? So it all was Jesus. Well, who is He? Yeah, amen. Thank God He paid our price that we couldn't pay. Amen. He paid our price. He's the Passover lamb. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He said, whoever offers a sacrifice to the Lord has to be perfect, free will offering, to be accepted. God is satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection. We don't got it. At our best state, we're worthless. He's got to have absolute perfection because He is perfect. And consequently, God can be satisfied with nothing less than Himself. Nothing satisfies God but God. So, well, is Brian satisfied? That's because she's in Him. She's in Him. Or we call His body. I know I backtracked a little bit there, but you weren't getting the emphasis on a couple of things. Amen. Colossians 1:27. You know what it says? Christ in you. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. The only hope you got is Him, not yourself. He cannot accept you unless you are in Him. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That is just God remaking Himself, duplicating Himself, cloning Himself. That's what He intended with us, to be like Him. But you got to get in Him for Him to accept you and you be like Him. And that's why 2 Corinthians 4:7 says we have this treasure.
Yes.
In earthen vessels. You know what the treasure is? It's God. It's God. I mean, the one that Solomon said fills heaven and earth, guess what? He can live right in here.
Amen.
That's God. Zechariah 3 verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Here's the Lord calling on the Lord to rebuke the devil. God the Son calling on God the Father. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's God invoking God to rebuke the devil. Matthew 4 verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, he's talking to the devil, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan is not capable of worshiping God. I am not capable of worshiping God. You are not capable of worshiping God. Only God is capable of worshiping God, and he's got to move inside, and then he will worship himself through me. That's the way that thing works. We don't have sense enough to worship God.
Amen.
God's worshiping Himself. Why? Ain't nobody else be worshipped? Nobody. Philippians 2 verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh boy, today I'm going to set out, I'm going to do the will of God, I'm going to bring pleasure to God. You ain't going to do nothing. How's that for good English? All you can do at best is get out of the way and let God do what He wants to do with you and through you, and that'll bring glory and honor to Him, and nothing else will. We're so full of ourselves sometimes we think God needs us. It works the other way. We need Him.
Amen.
He doesn't need us at all. Somebody said, well, God created man to have somebody to love. He had perfect love in the confines of the Trinity. You need to get this. God does not need us for anything. We need Him for everything. Hebrews 13 verse 20. And 21, now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you, only way you're going to do His will, that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. God working in you to accomplish God's will through God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all that is. That's just God in us being obedient to God through us. It's not us being obedient. We can't be. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, for the will is present with me. All I want to do is what I want to do. I got to yield to the Spirit of God, God in me, and let Him please God in my behalf. He fulfills His own will through us. John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. James 2, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10, 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible says God is love. When we love anybody at all, it's just God in us loving God in somebody else. That's what it is. How could God love us? Be honest with yourself. How could God love us?
Amen.
Only if we get in Him.
Amen.
Perfect love is in the Godhead.
Amen.
Get in Jesus. Then He'll love you as He loves His only begotten Son. Amen.
Amen.
Loving our neighbor is just God loving that neighbor through us. We don't know anything about love. Let's be honest. We don't know anything about it. It's God doing that. We don't know how to really love anybody. Say, well, lost people love people. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. You believe the Word of God? You know what the Word of God said? Titus 3, verse 3. We were sometime foolish, disobedient, talking about before we got saved, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Before you got saved, you didn't like anybody got in your way.
Right.
Amen. Look at Romans chapter 11. I'm going to wind it down here so we'll have time for somebody else. Romans chapter 11. I'm just trying to say this thing's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about God. If you're not living for Him, you're wasting time. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. We were created for His glory. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Why for? Because of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. I beseech you, therefore, since it's all about Him, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? This thing's about Him. It's not about us. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said it's of Him, it's through Him, it's to Him, it's for Him. Everything's about Him. And if we're gonna count it all in this life, we got to yield ourselves completely for Him.
Amen.
It's about Him. It ain't about me.
Amen.
It's all God.
Amen.
Or it's nothing.
Amen.
You realize you couldn't conjure up repentance if your life depended on it.
Right.
We're too full of pride.
Right.
We got to have Him to even get repentant about anything. Right. You couldn't love anybody if your life depended on it. It's only the love of God that comes through us. Well, forgiveness, there'd be no forgiveness if it depended on us. We wouldn't forgive anybody for anything. We wouldn't know how to pray. Even the apostles who walked daily with the Lord, they said, Lord, we got a problem here. You need to teach us to pray. If they needed that, how much more do we? We couldn't get our heart right with God if our life depended on it. Only God can do that. Only yielding to Him can get things right unto Himself. We couldn't do good works. It's all Him or nothing. There's a lot of Christians out there trying to do things without God being around. You can build a church without God being within 50 miles of it. But you won't get any reward for that. It's got to be Him. He's got to have the preeminence. It's got to be all God or it's all worthless. Preeminent. You know, we talk about preeminence. Well, God's got to have first place. He's got to have the preeminence. And that all sounds good, but preeminence does not mean first place. It means only place.
Amen.
There ain't no second to God.
Amen.
There is no third.
Right.
He's got to have the only place. He's got to have the preeminence in our lives. The question is He everything in your life? Just how important is He to you? This is all about Him. It's not about us. Who's running the show in your life? Is it Him? Or is it you?